Morning. Today's daf is Kuf Yud Beis. We're on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We're continuing. Yesterday's daf, we were involved in a discussion of Ruach Ra, of the evil spirits. It was a continuation of the previous daf, which really all started on Kuf Tes Amud Beis. Meaning, so we are in a long discussion in the Gemara regarding the Kalach HaTumah, the powers, dark forces, if you will. Lack of a better term. The Gemara, all the way back on Kuf Tes Amud Beis, started the whole discussion, initiated the conversation with a very simple question. We know that Zugos are bad, says the Gemara. And meanwhile, the rabbis instituted that we're going to have two pairs of cups of wine on Lel Seder. Dalakosos. So how can the rabbis institute Dalakosos? So if you remember back then, the Gemara gives three answers quickly to review. Answer number one is that's Lel Shimurim. The Seder night is a night of Shmira, of extra protection. Answer number two is that the benching that we do, that we say on the Seder night is on the third cup. And once you're benching on a third cup of wine, so then there's no tziruf. There's no combination of a fourth cup to the third cup, because the third cup is that of bracha. And finally, answer number four is that each kos on the Seder night represents its own individual mitzvah, and so therefore it's not counted as four. Those are the three answers of the Gemara, and then the Gemara went on to discuss Zugos, qualifications, when does Zugos apply, when does Zugos not apply. That took us through all of Daf Kuf Yud, and then yesterday's Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, more discussion on that, and also Kishuf, and witchcraft and sorcery, and what happens when you run into a witch, and Gemaras of the like. We're on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud, and we're starting towards the top. Now, the rest of yesterday's daf, which we're going to go through right now, is a continuation of discussion of Shadim, of Mazikin, of what we would call demons, for lack of a better term. And the Gemara is going to conclude with its discussion at the bottom of this Amud. So nearly two dapim of Gemara in Shas is dedicated to this topic of Zugos, of pairs, and of Ruach Ra, and of Shadim. Actually, the truth of the matter is that it spills into today's daf as well. Chamishe Tuleman Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we're about seven lines from the top of the Amud and in the beginning of the line. Chamishe Tule Have. There are five different types of shades. Now, I'm going to say the word shade, and you're going to get confused, because it could either refer to the shadow, or it could refer to the actual demon itself. And the Gemara's usage of the word Tule over here is in the context of a shadow. But you know what lives in the shadow? Shadim, which makes perfect sense, meaning nearly the identical word. So Chamishe Tula Have Tula de Dikla, there's the shadow of the palm tree, Yechida, Tula de Kanda, Tula de Parcha, Tula de Zardasa, Igadarmaf, Tula de Arba, Vitula de Arvata. Okay, different shadows of different trees. Please don't ask me to translate all these different trees, I don't know. But the last two things that we just mentioned was the shadow of a boat, that's Tula de Arva, and Tula de Arvasa, shadow of a willow tree. Klal de Mils called the Nafishan Pe Kashi Tule. Look, says the Gemara, the more leaves that the tree has, the more shade that it produces, v'chol dekashi silave kashi tule. And the more trunk that it has, so the more shadow it produces. And again, the more shadow means more bad, meaning more places for shadim to reside. Labar mikrumasa. The Gemara says an exception to that is a tree by the name of the krumasa. Again, let the people who know things about these trees identify them. I'm not one of them. Afakav dekashi silave lo kashi tule. The Gemara says that, look, Its trunk, its branches are very thick, but it doesn't produce a great shadow. In fact, the Gemara overhears a conversation between a shade and its son. I guess we could say her son. Okay, I don't know how shadim work in general, obviously. To say that there are genders sounds that way from the Gemara. But says to her son, parche nafshech mikrumasa, avoid the tree of krumasa, just not a good tree to be in. De'iuhu dekatal avucha vekatal ledidei. It killed your father, the krumasa, naturally. Amar Rav Ashi chazil Rav Kahana deparsh mikulu tule be parche. Ruche de Bei Zardasa, Shida de Bei Igre Rishbe. The Gemara says that Rav Ashi himself avoided all shadows. Okay, and then we're actually naming the Shadim. I apologize, I ran through a line. Bei Parche Ruche de Bei, Tula de Bei Parche Ruche de Bei Zardasa, Shida de Bei Igre Rishbe. Okay, so we now actually have a name for each shade that resides by each tree. And the Gemara says, and what's the point? meaning who cares? So lamai nafkamina la kamei. The Gemara says, and why do I need to know that? I need to know that because when I write my Kameya. Now, I'm not going to be writing a Kameya, but remember the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos spoke at length about this idea that if you have certain ailments, illnesses, physical or metaphysical, so you can combat it with a Kameya, with an amulet. You have an amulet. It's written by a professional, meaning not the amateurs. The Gemara actually insists over there in Shabbos that the amulet can only be worn on Shabbos and carried through the street if it's worn by a professional. Professional amulet wearer. Professional, by the way, is not because he has a degree. Professional means because he has shown to be effective. It worked. The Gemara goes on to describe even in more detail the shade, the mazik that lives by the Beit Parche is a type of birya. It's a type of creature. It doesn't have eyes. So the Gemara says, and that's helpful because now you know that if you're being chased down by this particular shade, so he can't see. So it's easier to run away from. A Gemara tells a story where a particular Talmid Chacham was relieving himself by this tree, the Beit Parche tree, Shama de Ka'asi Lavei, and now he hears that he's being attacked by a shade, V'gazi La. So what does he do? Runs away. Flees. And then what the shade does, not knowing, because the shade can't see, is he hugged the tree. It sounds like from the context of the Gemara, thinking that he was hugging the Talmud Chacham, and applied pressure, and the tree blew up. Parcha de Bezar Dasa Shida. So the... Yeah, very good. The original tree hugger. The Parcha de Bezar Dasa Shida. Shiri. No, did I say it right the first time? Honestly, not sure. The demon that's by the Zardasa tree is referred to as a Shidi. Hai Zardasa desmich lamasa lo pascha mishisen Shidi. And the Gemara tells us another piece of information, which again seems to be a detail. And that is that there are, when the Bezar Dasa tree that's immediately proximate to the city has 60 shadim. L'maynaf, k'mina l'mechtav le'kemeya. And the Gemara says, and you need to know this information because when you write your amulet, make sure to write your amulet not mentioning one shade, but of course mentioning all 60. And the Gemara tells a story where somebody didn't know this piece of information. Ewa bar kasha, damasa da'aza v'kai gabi zardasa, da'aviz samach l'masa. So a particular individual went by the Zardasa tree that was right by the city. So he was attacked by 60 shadim, and needless to say, he was in immediate danger. We just saw that one shade was able to take down a tree, so easy to imagine that 60 can easily decimate a person. But anyway, so in comes the Talmud Chacham, but he was a Talmud Chacham, but he still was young and didn't know about the underworld, didn't know about the Shadim. So Kasav la Kamei la Chadashida. So what he did is he wrote an amulet, but the amulet was only to negate one of the Shadim. Shama detalu chinga begavei v'kamashu hachi. So they started making fun of him. They started mocking him, ridiculing him, meaning to shade him. Sudre demar kitzurber merabanan bedikna bay bamar de lo yada baruch. Meaning he wears a sudra. You'll see this a couple times in Shas, where the Talmid Chacham wore like some sort of turban on his head, or however you want to describe it. Sudra. Right, it was a particular head covering that was reflective of the fact that he was a Talmid Chacham. And when we put it on, we make a bracha. What bracha do we make when we put it on? Well, we make it every single day. Even though we don't actually wear the sudar, we wear a kippah. But in other words, what's the bracha? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Oter Yisrael b'sifara. Right? He crowns the Jewish people in glory. So, and meanwhile, also, in other words, they're saying, Delo Yada Baruch, meaning, He doesn't even know his brachas, this particular Talmid Chacham. This is now the shade they're making fun of this Talmid Chacham. So along comes another Talmid Chacham who does in fact know that the Zardasa tree has 60 shadim. So what does he do? He writes a correct amulet. He writes one that negates all 60. Shamadaka Amru Pariminaicha Mehacha. So then the next thing that was overheard by the Shadim, by the underworld, is okay, time for us to leave. Ketev Meriri, more on this topic. Ketev Meriri Kitve Havel. The Ketev Meriri is a reference to another type of shade. Perhaps you're familiar with this type of shade in that it's mentioned in Tehillim. We're going to quote the pasuk in Tehillim momentarily. There are two different types. One is the morning brand, and the other one is the afternoon brand. The mekametari ketav meriri shmo. The one in the morning is referred to as ketav meriri. Umechze be kada de kimcha, v'hader be bachsha. And you'll see it, not because you're actually going to see it, but what you're going to see is you're going to see a spoon stirring very quickly in a cheese dip, and no one's stirring the spoon. Okay, and that's how you know that you are in the presence of Ketav Meriri. In the afternoon, the Basa Tiara, Ketav Yashud Tzaraim Shmo. Okay, the name of this particular shade is Ketav Yashud Tzaraim, Umechze Be Karna De Iza, Vahadar Be Kanafya. And how are you going to see this? You're going to see this with he's going to appear to you like horns of the goats. Okay. Now, Abaye Havashakal, the Gemara tells a story. Abaye is now going to be confronted by this demon. Happens to be in the first parak of Kedushin, Abaye also there confronts demons. So, to my mind, I can think of twice now in Shas where Abaye confronts or is confronted by demons. So, Abaye Havashakal v'azav v'azav rav papa miyamina v'rav huna b'reid rav Yeshua mismalei. Abaye was walking with flanked by two Amoraim. Rav Papa was on his right hand side, and Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, was on his left hand side. So he was being attacked now by the shade Ketav Meriri. And more specifically, he was being attacked on his left hand side. Right? So now Abaye was not going to be harmed because he was in the center. And the way everyone was positioned, Rav Papa was to the right, and Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua was to the left. So right now, the only one who was at risk was Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua. What does Abaye do? Ahadra la Rav Papa, la smala la Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua la yamine. Okay. So Abaye says, guys, you know what? Switch places. So you, Rav Papa, so you'll go to the left, and Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, you'll go to the right. So simply put, he put Rav Papa in harm's way. Amalei Rav Papa, Ana Maishna, Delo Chasha Shlis. Rav Papa asks the obvious question. Seems like you don't care about me. Get that impression. So Amalei Achait Shaita Kaim Talach. So the response was, nah, I just the opposite. Meaning, I know you can handle it. The hour is good for you, and I know that you'll be able to handle it. This is now, Ari, this will be the second time that you and I have seen recently Abaye throw somebody at a shade. The other time will be in Kedusha. From day one of Tammuz until day 16, they're out there. The Shadim are out there, and they're out there in full force. I find it to be interesting. I don't have a comment as to why, but obviously we're going from day one to day 16 of Tammuz. That takes us right up to Yud Zayin Tammuz. But if I were to intuit, if I were to guess, I would say that the Shadim would be more prevalent from the 17th day of Tammuz, which is the beginning of the 3 weeks. So why the first 16 days of Tammuz in anticipation of the 3 weeks? Maybe, I don't know. But it's certainly interesting to me, but I don't have a smart comment. Now, after day 16, so then they, maybe. They're doubtful as to whether they're out there. And they're going to hang out by the shadows of the barrels, shadows that are not an arm long, morning shadows, evening shadows that are not an arm long, the Iker Betula de Beis Akise, and a lot of them hang out in the shadows of the bathroom. Okay, so dangerous place to go. Bathroom during the summer, from the 1st to 16th day of Tammuz, dangerous place. Amar Rav Yosef Hanitlas Milei, we're almost done. I know it's been a long time on this topic of Ruach Ra and Shadim, and a lot of metaphysical talk. I feel like I'm totally out of my element. I'm not conversant in any of this, but we'll try our best. Amar Rav Yosef Hanitlas Milei Yahiv Arvuna Lenuara. Three things that really are going to diminish your eyesight, literally make you dark from light. and that is mandasarik resha yavesh, combing your hair while your hair is dry. Gemara says no good. Mandashasi tiftif, drinking drips from the barrel, meaning the wine that's dripping out of the barrel, collecting those drops and drinking it. The Gemara says no good. Umandasai masane ad de maisine kare, putting shoes on before your feet dry. Also, the Gemara says no good. Now, again, these are all metaphysical results, and so again, I just totally feel out of my element. Talib evesik kashal in yusa. Hanging things in your house is bad. It's a siman ra. It's a bad sign. It leads to poverty. Kadamri inshi talasilsa talamizone. You hang baskets in your house. It's your food will be hung. Meaning not literally, but you won't get a lot of it. Now the Gemara says, but not just any food, but specifically bread. Don't hang bread in your house. Meat and fish, the Gemara says, that you can hang, because who doesn't have a salami hanging in their house? In Yeshiva, we had that plentiful. But the Gemara says that's normal. Now, in other words, hanging meat and fish are normal. Orchei, that's the normal way, and therefore, it's not going to be a problem. Perib basic kashlan yusa, a bran in your house. So having bran in your house is bad. It's a simon for poverty. Nishur bebesikashile aniyusa, breadcrumbs. Meaning just having breadcrumbs lying around the house, the Gemara says also another simon for poverty. Belele Shabbos, Belele Revius, Sharu Mezikin Ilave. On Tuesday night and on Friday night. So there is a multitude of mazikin that are on the breadcrumbs, so the Gemara says no good. Isri de Mazona Nikishme, the demon that is over the Mazonos, his name is Nikid. Isri de Aniyusa Navalshme, and the demon, the shade that is appointed over your poverty, so he goes by the name of Naval. The Gemara doesn't say it over here, but I guess we could say earlier, same thing we said earlier, which is maybe for the purpose of Kamea, meaning why do we need to know this information? All right. Putting a plate over the top of the barrel, meaning instead of using a regular lid, you use a plate. The Gemara says not good. It's a siman for anius. And one who drinks water from a plate, that's bad for your eyesight. Okay, that's fine. We could pause. I could breathe over here at this point in time. I'll say it one more time. We're almost done. Almost done with the metaphysical discussions. You eat cress. It's a type of vegetable. And the Gemara speaks about it often. I don't know what it is, but you eat cress and you don't wash your hands prior to eating it, so you're going to have anxiety for 30 days. Watercress. Yeah. You'll have anxiety for 30 days, and the Gemara says, and the Rashbam explains, that you're not even going to know why you have the anxiety, so just simply have anxiety. Dimisukar v'lamashiyade mavchishimayome. Now, it sounds like my name, but the Misukar says the Rashbam and Rashi is bloodletting from the shoulders, and without washing your hands after you bloodlet, so that that produces an anxiety for 7 days. Getting a haircut and not washing your hands after the haircut will induce anxiety for 3 days. You cut your fingernails without washing your hands afterwards, so you will experience anxiety for 1 day. And the Gemara says, and you're not even really sure why you're going to have that anxiety. You will just simply have the anxiety. Now all these things, huh? Yeah, Tosis, I told you. Tosis a couple times in Shas, not here. But Tosis a couple times in Shas points out that we don't worry about these metaphysical activities, but as we pointed out yesterday, that's not totally accurate. First of all, we wake up in the morning, we wash our hands 3 times. Right? And in addition to that, Stuart just pointed out, right, that in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, meaning if you look into the beginning of our Chaim, so you'll see the Shulchan Aruch brings down all of this. Meaning that you should wash your hands after a haircut, after cutting your nails, right? All these Gemaras over here are brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. So to simply say that we just don't worry about it at all is not accurate. To what degree we worry about this, that I'm sure is not going to be totally answerable. Yanda Usya Dargla Pachta. Gemara says, putting your hand on your upper lip, where the mustache could go. So the Gemara says, that's no good. That is a ladder of fear. The way the Rashbam explains it means you're ascending towards fear. Yada pusha darga l'shenasta. Putting your hand on your forehead, that is going to induce sleep. Okay, maybe it's a pressure point. Tana ochlen mashkin tachas amita filo mechupen bekli barza ruch rasha aleihem. Don't put food under the bed. The Gemara says, even if the food is hermetically sealed, even if it's in a kli barzel, if it's an iron kli, it does not matter. The ruach ra will invade the food that is stored under the bed. Okay, what do you do in camp? I don't know. Because that's where we always kept the food. Now we said Tuesday night and Friday night are nights that are very prone to mazikin, and don't drink water those nights. The water, as we learned already now a number of times. But look, I don't know a lot about this world of mazikin, but I do see, however, that water was like their drink. I don't know, not because they drank it. I don't know. I simply don't know. But they like the water. Don't drink the water on Tuesday night and Friday nights. May sakana, my sakana ruach ra. It's invaded by this ruach ra, this evil spirit. So the Gemara asks a really simple question. If all this is true, so how do you drink water on Tuesday night? Meaning, let's say you're thirsty. So what do you do? So the Gemara gives no less than five pieces of advice for the person who wants to drink water both on Tuesday night and on Friday night. Advice number one. Name a Shiva Kol Shanema David Al Hamayim Vahadar Nishte. So quote Pesukim from Tehillim. Right? Remember Tosus we saw yesterday together? Where Tosus says, I can't use Pesukim to heal myself, but I can use it to protect myself. So here you'll say the Pesukim in Tehillim. And the pasuk is Kol Hashem Al Hamayim. I'll read quickly. Kol Hashem Al Hamayim Al Kovet Hirim Hashem Al Hamayim Rabim. Kol Hashem Bakoch. Kol Hashem Ba'adar. Kol Hashem Shover Arizim. Vayishab Hashem Esarzel Avanon. Kol Hashem Chotziv Avaseish. Kol Hashem Yachal Midbar. Yachal Hashem Midbar Kadesh. Kol Hashem Yichol Al Ayalos. Vayechasof Yarosu Vehechalo Kulo Omer Kavod. You quote that pasuk from Tehillim, and that'll be a hagana, a protection from the ruach ra when you're drinking on Tuesday and Friday nights. V'ilo, advice number two, Le'imahachi, Lushafan in Garon in Ratbin, Ben Kochve Yisvina, Ben Bilish Mina Azilna. It's an incantation. I don't know if we're supposed to understand all of it. The Rashma, however, does explain the second half of it, which is you're basically saying to the Ruach Ra, look at me. You really want to come after me? Why don't you choose someone who has a little more flesh on his body and stay away from me? V'ilo, the Gemara gives a third piece of advice if you want to drink water on Tuesday or Friday nights. The Ika Inish Bade Nit Are Velemale Panaya Ba Parnasa Tsachina Maya Vahad Nishte. Wake somebody up, meaning don't drink alone. I know we're only talking about water, but don't drink alone. Wake somebody up and say to him, so and so, the son of so and so, meaning identify yourself, your name, your mother's name. Tsachina Maya Vahad Nishte. We're thirsty and we want to drink. The Elo, the Gemara gives a fourth piece of advice, meaning let's say you don't have anyone to wake up. Make a lot of noise. Scare away the mazik. And then drink water. Number five, the Elo, nishte ba mide vahada nishte. Throw something in there and then drink. Basically cause some sort of commotion. Ten Rabban lo yisha adamayim lo min anaros v'lo min agamim balayla. Vim shasa dama b'rosho. The Gemara quotes a b'raisa. The Brisa says that you shouldn't drink water from the rivers and from the swamps at night. And if you do so, that's suicidal. My sakana. So mimea sakana, my sakana, sakana shaviri. Now we can give a very rational explanation. We could simply say that you're taking water from the river at night. You can't see what you're picking up from the water. So you could be not only taking water from the river, but you could take a whole bunch of small insects. And okay. But the Gemara, however, again, working with the theme that we've been working with now for the last 3 days, including today. So the Gemara says, Sakana Shavriri. So there's a certain evil spirit that is in this water, and it goes by the name of Shavriri. And give me a moment. I know I was missing a point. Rashi and the Rashbam over here both say that Shaviri also is synonymous with Sanveirim. Sanveirim, blindness. Okay, you'll remember that from the story of Lot and the city of Sodom. Okay. Ah, okay, fine.
13.
Yeah, so then why is he say that he's thirsty? Okay, I accept that. Just it's a little bit strange. You mention aren't you the one who's thirsty? Okay, fine. So let's say you're by a river. It's night. You're thirsty. So what do? So step number one, wake somebody up, identify him, and then drink. So what you do is you mention the name of the shade, and you keep taking a letter off the name. So in other words, his name is Shavriri, and then just each time, knock off a letter, say the name, but knock off a letter, until you get down to the word Ri. And I guess the idea is you're reducing the shade. And then you drink it in a clear cup, in a white cup. Adkan, that takes us to the end. Okay, that was a long trek in the Gemara. Starting on Kuf Tes Amud Beis, ending now on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara has spent now two dapim and change on the topic of Shadim, Kishuf, and Ruach Ra. Okay, we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that if you're poor and you can't afford four cups of wine, you go to the Tamchui. So you go to the you go to the soup kitchen. But as we pointed out back in the Mishnah, the Rashbam said in the Mishnah, it's not even a soup kitchen. I mean, it is a soup kitchen, but as the Rashbam pointed out, oh my gosh, this is such a long time ago. Okay, we're in Kuf Yud Beis, and this takes us all the way back to Tzadi Tes. Okay, almost 2 weeks ago. The Rashbam told us that that there are two levels of poverty. And if you are poor, but you can at least afford today's food, so you're sent to a different type of soup kitchen. But if you're so poor, if you're so indignant that you can't even afford food for today, so you go to what the Tamchui is. Tamchui is basically, it is a soup kitchen. In other words, basically it's where you get daily ration because you can't afford. So you're that level of poverty. The Gemara says you still have to, you got to figure out a way to get dalakosos. And the Rashbam points out, even if you have to, right, I'm going all the way to the Rashbam back in the Mishnah. Right, yimkors ma'busho, sell your clothing, o yalava or borrow, o yaskir es atzmo, or rent yourself out. Meaning, figure it out. Figure out a way, but you need four cups of wine on the Seder night. Pshita lo nitzucha ela afilo Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says it's obvious, which is not the reaction I was expecting from the Gemara. It's obvious. That's obvious? So the Gemara says, yeah, no, it is obvious. Meaning that there's a mitzvah to do in, and really you should try your hardest to do a mitzvah. So the Gemara says even this even conforms to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Damar asei shabbas chachol, but I'll teach the rech lebrius, because Rabbi Akiva says that if you are in a state of poverty, so then you should make nothing special about Shabbos, nothing, not even and it goes without saying Shabbos not yontif. Meaning Shabbos should be a regular weekday if you can't afford it. I hope I'm clear. In terms of Malacha Shabbos, right, obviously you have to keep Shabbos, you have to be Shomer Shabbos, but what he means by this is no fancy food, no chulent. In other words, don't extend yourself, sir, says Rabbi Akiva, if you can't afford it, even for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so that's Rabbi Akiva Shita. So now that you know Rabbi Akiva, now you understand, here comes a big chiddush. Meaning that come Shabbos, I can't afford meat, okay, don't buy it, says Rabbi Akiva. Well, I can borrow. Rabbi Akiva says, no, don't do that, don't borrow. But when it comes to the Seder night, Rabbi Akiva will agree, get the four cups of wine. Meaning that's beyond important. Even Rabbi Akiva will tell you to do so. And why? So the Gemara says, Hacha mishum pirsum enisa, moda. So because when it comes to the four cups of wine, so there's an element of pirsum anes, the publicizing of a miracle is so important that even Rabbi Akiva, who normally says don't extend yourself financially, will tell you you must extend yourself financially.
Who says it on the Hanukkah candles too? I assume he says it on the
Hanukkah
candles too.
It would stand to reason. I agree with your thinking. Doesn't say it, but I agree with. So the Gemara says, look, even according to Rabbi Akiva, do something. Make some acknowledgement financially that today is Shabbos. I understand, don't get the meat, don't get the roast, but do something. My ninu, I'm Rav Papa Kasda Harsana. Okay, a herring. A small piece of herring. Rav Yehuda Mentema says you should be strong like a leopard, light like an eagle. I know it's not an eagle, but it's okay. I'll say it anyway. Rat kitzvi, run like a deer. Gibor ka'ari, be strong like a lion, in order to do Ratzon Avicha Shebashamayim. And as the Rashbam points out, az kenamer, right, be strong like a leopard, meaning even in a position where you cannot afford anything for Shabbos, but do something. Do something that signifies that today is Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan, here we go. The rest of today's daf. Ready is a lot to do. And I'm going to go through it quickly. And I apologize in advance because I really enjoy this as well. And this is now life advice. We're going to go through various Tanayim and pieces of advice they give for how to live life. Now, this is not a halachic discussion. This is a more global, general discussion of things you should do to live life. Pieces of advice. We start off with Rabbi Akiva. Shiva Dvarim Siva Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Yeshua Beno. So, seven things that Rabbi Akiva told his son Rabbi Yehoshua. And they are number one. By the way, this could be Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha. Rashi says it, Rashbam says it, it is Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, but Tosfos says, I can't imagine. Because Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, what does that mean? Rav Yeshua is son of the bald man. Meaning that's how we're going to describe Rabbi Akiva. Now, it happens to be that he was bald. Okay, so it is true, but in other words, nicknames are the Gemara, Bab Metzia says, are terrible. And so hard to imagine that every time we call Rabbi Akiva, we refer to him as Rav Yeshua. We refer to Rav Yeshua's father. We call Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. Tosfos says, I can't imagine. Right, anyway, number one, Bini Alteisha Begova Shal Ir V'Tishna. Don't sit in the top of the city, in the high point of the city, and learn over there. The Rashbam explains what's the problem. Problem is that there's a lot of traffic over there, a lot of people over there, and you will be highly distracted. So in other words, learn in a place where you won't get distracted. Number two, Altidar Be'ir Shereshet Talmidei Chachamim. Don't live in a city where it's run by a bunch of Talmidei Chachamim. Now, I know that's strange, right? Almost ironic. But as the Rashbam points out, meaning they're not going to, something's got to give. Either the learning's got to give or city needs need to give. Something's going to give. And probably it's the city needs which are going to not be taken care of. And you want people who are free and clear who run the city to take care of the city. Number three. By the way, what I'm offering right now is just a sampling, meaning we're just scratching the surface. You understand that for every one of these things, you could also give other explanations as well. Other explanations are being given. I'm just going to go with the Rashbam. Number three. Don't walk into your house all of a sudden. Knock before you walk into your own home. And then the Gemara says, it goes without saying, this would be true for other people's homes as well. Number four, Al timna mina alaim meraglecha, always wear shoes. Number five, hashkem ve'chol bekayt memnecham v'chorv memneyatzima, eat breakfast. Number six, asei shabbat chachov al titzarech lebrios, don't extend, this is Rabbi Akiva, I know we just saw this, don't extend yourself for Shabbos. If you can't afford Shabbos, live within your means of Shabbos, even though it means that Shabbos, there's not going to be anything special about Shabbos. Number seven, have a mishadol im adam shasham estachekes lo. Hang out with successful people. Okay, it'll rub off. Now, that doesn't mean buy from him or sell to him. It means create a partnership with him. Okay, venture on an enterprise together with someone who is successful. If you get a coin from Eov, you will be blessed. I feel a mizban mine luzvun ale shapir dami. But then the Gemara goes back and the Gemara says, you know what, I take it back. I know, I think we were wrong. Even if you buy something from somebody successful or sell something to somebody successful, So then you will also get some of that success will rub off on you. Rabbi Kiva is in jail. Rashbam reminds us, the Gemara at the end of Brachos, Rabbi Kiva spent the last days of his life in jail before he was brutally murdered by the Romans. And he's now having a conversation with Rishim Bar Yochai. Rishim Bar Yochai at this time is not in jail. Amar Rebbe Lamdini Torah. So Rishim Bar Yochai says, okay, I'm here, I'm ready, let's learn. Amar Eini Malamcha. So Rabbi Kiva refuses. Amar Lo Im Eina Tamalamdini Ani Omer Li Yochai Abba Umosrech Lamachos. So Rishim Bar Yochai gives him the most threatening threat that one can imagine. That is, I'm going to tell my father on you if you don't teach me Torah. And if you don't teach me Torah, he's gonna report you to the Romans. Now it's kind of hard to understand because at current state, Rabbi Kiva is in jail. So, right, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai telling on his father telling on Rabbi Kiva to his father how could it get worse? Okay, anyway, Amalo Bini Yosem Mimasha Egel Rotzalenak Paru Rotzalahanik. Classic line of the Gemara. Look, the calf wants to drink, but you know the mother wants to feed even more. And so it's not for a lack of desire. I'm more interested in teaching you Torah than you're learning Torah. The problem is I just can't. Now it sounds like the Gemara is not particularly clear, but it sounds like not because Rabbi Kiva is in any type of danger. I mean, he's already sitting in jail. But he feels like if he teaches Torah to Rishim Bar Yochai, Rishim Bar Yochai will become in danger. And basically he's doing this to protect Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So he says to him, I understand, who's in danger right now? Meaning, let's go with your analogy, right, about the cow and the calf. Okay, the cow wants to feed even more than the calf wants to eat. But let me ask you a simple question. If the calf doesn't eat, what's going to happen? Calf is going to die. So if you don't teach me Torah, I'm going to die. Amar lo, okay, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was right. And here we go now. These are five things that Rabbi Kiva now teaches Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai after they had a little bit of a dispute as to whether or not they should be learning at all. Number one, in Bikash Telechanik Hayit La Bi'ilan Gadol. Literally, it translates into if you want to choke somebody, so hang them on a big tree. Okay, what does that mean? Rashbam explains like this. You say something, but you want to make sure that people listen to what you say. So name drop. Meaning, don't just simply say it, but say it in the name of somebody great. Okay, does that mean that you're going to be lying? I don't know. Unclear. You can take a look at the Rashbam. I'll let you decide. And obviously, we would never promote lying, but I guess what you could say over here is that you're not lying, you're just simply attaching somebody to somebody's name. Okay, it's a misquote. Okay, I'll let you decide. Number two. Make sure that when you teach your son, teach him from a proofread Torah, an edited Torah, meaning making sure that there are no mistakes in the Torah. Why? Because Mahi Amarava Vitemar Avisharsha Becharata. When you're teaching him for the first time, because Shabeshta came into Al. Because here's the problem. You teach him a mistake, he's going to remember that mistake forever. Meaning you are imprinting upon him for the first time his Limud Torah, and you want to make sure that he gets it right the first time. Because it's really hard to correct a mistake. The Gemara is speaking very euphemistically, very delicately, and that is, don't cook in a pot that your friend cooked in. And the Gemara here is speaking about marrying a divorcee while her husband is still alive. That if a man who was previously married marries a woman who was previously married, so there are four deos in bed together. He's thinking about his previous spouse, she's thinking about her previous spouse, and the Gemara just simply says it's unhealthy. Now, mind you, another... Right, correct. You read my mind. In other words, a Gemara is not, the Gemara cannot be saying that a Garish and a Grusha should not get married again, but the Gemara is just simply saying this is going to be the natural consequence. Gemara says, I'll tell you the truth, this would be a problem even if it's a widow, meaning her husband's no longer alive. But still, but she's still going to be physically compared to her previous husband. And the Gemara says, it's not that she shouldn't get married again, but it's just the natural consequences of life. Number four, this is again Rabbi Kiva's teachings to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mitzvah v'guf gadol ocha peres v'lo sachar. You want to be about tzedakah, but you don't want to lose money. Okay, yeah, right? Everyone like perked up. Really? How do you do that? So the Gemara says, this is what Rabbi Kiva teaches Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So what you'll do is as follows. You'll lend money to somebody, and you'll take his property as collateral, and you'll be able to enjoy the fruits of his property. Now, I know it sounds like ribbis, but the Gemara Bava Metzia calls this mashkanasa desura. This is a collateral set up in a system of sura. Now, I'm going to be totally honest. I don't remember the Gemara Bava Metzia, meaning this was the very difficult fifth parak of Bava Metzia. This is all about the ribbis, and somehow, some way,
it
turns into a business venture. I don't remember specifically why it obviates the problem of ribbis, but it does. And the Gemara says, and now you're good. You're good and you're good because you're lending money, which is a mitzvah, and you're not charging interest, and all you're doing is you're holding his land as collateral, and the Gemara says, and now you're good. Mitzvah v'guftar nosei isha v'lo banim. You want to have a guftar, a clean body, a pure body, so it's very simple, says the Gemara. Marry and have children. Okay. In other words, you'll be able to satisfy your Yetzirah, and you'll do so in a very healthy and beneficial way. Arba Dvarim Tziva Rabbeinu HaKadosh Es Banav. Now we're up to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So we saw Rabbi Akiva twice. We saw Rabbi Akiva by his son, Rabbi Yoshua. We saw Rabbi Akiva by his student, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And now we're up to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And this is what he told his sons. Number one, Altidor B'Shech Netziv Mishum Delitznei. Don't live in Shach Netziv. That's point number one. The reason why is because they're all a bunch of jokers over there, and they make fun and they ridicule and they mock, and they're gonna and you're gonna get influenced by them. So don't live there. Two, Al Teshev Amitas Aramis. Don't lie down on the bed of an Aramis. What does that mean? Now the word Aramis literally translates as a non-Jew, the bed of a non-Jewish woman. So the Gemara gives three different explanations as to what this could possibly mean. Number one says the Gemara ikadami dolo tigne below kriya shma. So one possibility is that it's a euphemism. It's not actually referring to a non-Jewish woman. It means don't go to sleep at night without saying kriya shma, right? Kriya shma lamita. We talked about it in the very beginning of brachos. Number two, ikadami dolo tinsev girusa. Don't marry a giaris. Number three. Yeah, right. Right.
A divorcee.
Right. Again, these are not halachas. These are like advice. Recommendations. Okay? And the problem is, says Rashbam, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is that there's a sensitivity, a hypersensitivity when it comes to a giaris. It goes for 10 generations. And it's not recommended. Number three, Ika da'amre, arma'is ma'amish u'mishum ma'is da'raf papa. Or the third way to understand this is just literally, don't lie down on the bed of a non-Jewish woman, because then there'll be a blood libel. Okay, I know we always associate the blood libels to the 12th and 13th century. No, the Gemara says it's the blood libel of the 4th century, of the 3rd century, of Rav Papa, who sat down on a bed and then was accused of killing a baby. And take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam actually says that there was a baby that was placed underneath and he killed the baby. But it was a charge. It was a trumped-up charge. Number three. This is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi to his children. Number three. Al-Tivrach HaTzmacham and Amecha Esdilma Mashkul Chulach V'Shach Limanach called the Islach. Don't avoid taxes. Pay them. Because if you try to avoid them, they're going to find you, they're going to come after you. Number four. Atama bifnei ashur b'shash olam in ha'agam, imnei sha'asatam rakim main karanav. Right? The best way I could describe this is bullfighting. Right? The bull comes right out of the bull. I mean, it's really it. Bull comes right out of the bullpen, although the Gemara describes it as the bull coming out of the agam, out of the swamp. The satan is dancing between the horns of the bull. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bashur Shachor V'Yomenisa, and Rabbi Shmuel says, to be more specific, it's we're talking about a black bull in the month of Nisan. Really hot. And, okay, just not good. Tani Rav Oshia Marchikim Mishur Tam Chamisha Mama, safe distances from a bull. So if it's a short tam, no history of violence, 50 amas. Mishor muad kamaloa einav. Now, Shor muad, as far as you can see him, keep distancing yourself. Right. Tana mishmei de Rabbi Meir, reish tura b'dikula sak le'igre v'shadi darga metutech. If you see the head of a shor in the thicket, in the amongst the branches, so run to the roof, kick the ladder away, meaning at all costs. So right, stay far away. Amar Rav. So Rav says, here are things to say to try to ward him off. Nizei de Tura, if you see a shor, so you start yelling at it, hein hein. Nizei de Aryeh, if you see a lion, so yell at it, zeh zeh. You know how many times you need to go over this Gemara today? Because, trust me, when you are encountered with any of these things, you're going to have to remember what the Gemara said, exactly the correct wording. Okay. Nizei de Gamla Dada, so when you see a camel attacking, so the da does what you say. Nizei de Arva, when you see a boat. Now, you're not, the boat's an inanimate object. This is we're not talking about the boat, we're talking about the sailors on the boat. What do you say to them to get them going? You say, Hilni he, Hila vihila kuli. It's like, ho, ho, ho. Basically. I don't even mean it as a joke. I mean it. Amar baye. Or dagve, vikos chamim, uveitzim, vikinam, lavanim, kulam, kashim, adavar acher. Things that'll promote and induce tzaras, davar acher. Here, the davar acher is used in the classic sense. Davar acher is used in the Gemara typically for one of two things, either tzaras or pig, chazer. So here it's say, if I eat any of these things, or use any of these things, so it'll engender tzaras. Or mandagane amashcha detzala, when we're talking about hide, it means it wasn't properly tanned. Dag shivuta biyumin nisan, the shivuta dag, which if I remember correctly, the Gemara in Chulin says that the Shivuta dog tastes a lot like non-kosher fish. Okay, I think I'm right. Okay. Anyway, but in the month of Nisan, bad idea. Don't eat it. Koshirui kasada harsana. The fish brine, the fish guts. The Gemara says no good. It brings about tzaras. And chamin chamima de chamima mishadru ilavei. Pouring hot water on yourself, scalding hot water, not good. It's going to induce tzaras. In fact, we know in the Torah, talks about when you get a burn, sometimes you'll see in that inflammation tzaras coming up from that burn. Beitz aman de midrach aklipim, stepping on eggshells. I guess this may be where the expression comes from, but walking on eggshells. Gemara says bad for tzaras. And finally, and we'll end here for today. Kinim levanim or levanim, man de mechaver levushay velo natir le tamne yumei. Bahadov lavushle biryan. Hanachkin v'kashal madavar acher. What happens is that you clean the clothing and you try to delouse them. The Gemara says the clothing needs 8 days in order for all those kinim to be killed. In other words, the delousing process takes 8 days. And if you don't wait 8 days and you put on the clothing within 8 days, so basically your body heat is going to generate regenerate the kinim, the lice, and so therefore you're going to be stuck with the kinim, and bad for davar acher, bad for the tzaras. Okay. Oh, good. All right, let's stop over here. Okay, life lessons, pieces of advice. We continue tomorrow. More life lessons.